I will have a great difficulty in describing my work, work which even in America few people have ever seen. To speak about the themes or subject matter of my writing would seriously mislead everyone. The way some people are made of flesh. There are, however, some reasons why I have embraced theory more than practice. I grew up in an environment that was an admirable education for alienation. My father, though a teacher, was basically a professional bigot. There was little to be found in the world that he did not dislike. Especially his enemy was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Which he insisted was really Rosenfeld. He taught classes of students in a high school. And these classes were made up of young men mainly from various ethnic groups in the United States, blacks, Italians, Hungarians, Romanians, Spanish, and so on. And he all called them all by the most local nasty name. I soon felt very strongly a sense of not belonging. Not sharing. Not wishing in any sense to be associated with these kinds of attitudes. Yet I went on practicing being a son. And progressing in my studies. Like any dutiful student. And I am now a professor. Of philosophy and go about in my world as if I really belonged there. My work, on the other hand, is a statement that repudiates a great deal of the values which in the other world I must swim through. I will try briefly to give you an idea of the attitudes which lie behind my work, rather than try to describe any of the seven books which I have so far published. In the United States, a writer has very little control over events. His power or her power is largely confined to the page. So my concern is basically and most immediately language. I'd like to illustrate my approach to language with an illustration, which I hope it won't give the translators too much difficulty. Imagine someone who went about gathering up old Coca-Cola cans. The Coca-Cola can collector. That's C, 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 C. These cans, of course, are empty, battered, crushed. One might be gathering them in order to recycle and make more cans. But imagine instead, we find this collector putting these cans together in a great, making a great object. A block long. The Coca-Cola can complex. And people would come then and look at this great assemblage of cans. And admire the artist who had rescued all of this trash. In this way, I try to use the language of ordinary life the sentences which we use every day but I treat them like empty Coca-Cola cans. For we do drink our sentences like so much pop. Most of our sentences are like this. They involve asking questions. Comrade, Where has all the vodka gone? And sentences which contain answers. In the Soviet Union now, we drink only Coca-Cola. Or to, if not to answer questions and to ask them, to describe extraordinary events. For instance, I dreamt I was in a land flowing with vodka and money. Ah. Ah, then you were in heaven. But the bottles were empty and the money inflated. Ah, then you were in purgatory. Yet when I poured from the bottles, only Coke ran out. What hell? In short, language generally is used to ask something, explain something, describe something. With my language, I want mainly to make something. You perhaps are familiar or you remember the construction or constructivists. I want to construct my Coca-Cola complex. Now, if one were to look twice at such a object, you might infer additional meaning from the fact that it was made of old cans. And the fact that these cans were Coca-Cola. That universal symbol of America. A symbol empty, battered, and no doubt leaky. The aim would be to withdraw our words from their normal use to put them in new relationships to defamiliarize objects and ideas. Aim ultimately not to imitate nature, but to add to it. short, for me, the artist has to rescue language from culture.
Go.
Refresh and enliven it. And finally, to create something sufficiently real on its own account. That it challenges the reality of its readers. To turn to specifically and finally the way in which this approach bears upon the subject of our conference. I would like to refer to a great poem by another lover of Russia, Rainer Maria Rilke, who wrote a poem once called The Torso of an Archaic Apollo. In this poem, he describes a broken statue which has no head, no arms and legs, and whose genitals have been knocked off. And he imagines the light from the absent eyes in that head. Shining off the torso of that statue, and focused exactly at the point where the genitals were, and flashing forth at the observer the reality of this fragment. And the message of the poem, which I admire despite the fact it has a message, is that the reality of this broken piece of stone the human consciousness it contains the values it supports are almost certainly greater than the observer's reality. And Rilke imagines that, in effect, the statue says to the observer, "You must change your life." And what I would like in my work, by making objects out of language, is to have those objects contain value and consciousness as the tombstone outlives the corpse. one which will then say to the reader, you must change your life.